God is so amazing. Every single song today was just so right on. Every word, every prayer in the prayer room. God is just, he just likes to encourage us and to know that we're in the flow of his spirit. And today's teaching, I'm going to start out by talking to you about seasons. We know that God brings us in and out of seasons, but it's very important to know and recognize the season, the one that's coming, the one that you're in, so that you can dress appropriately, so that you can be in the season, you can enter into the season and get through it. We need to know what he's doing by the Spirit, and we need to cooperate with him. And the season that we're in now, I think most of us understand that, but it's to be attached to the vine permanently. That's a good way for God to say it. A lot of times he gives us word pictures to help us understand that a branch can do nothing on its own. It has to be attached to the life flow of the life that's in the vine. So we have to be attached to his life. And why is that? So that we can produce the spiritual fruit. His life is spirit, and we want to produce spiritual fruit to be as Christ. The title of the teaching today, because I've been looking at this concept actually for a couple of years, and you know, then I started to pray about it more and get into it more, and during that time, God just spoke to me, and I knew it was the title of the teaching, and he actually spoke it to me, I don't know, a while ago, but the title is Evil or Good or Life, and it's interesting the way he said it to me, because we have to know what good and evil is, and there is a difference between good, just being good, and being in his spirit, which is life. And that's kind of the main thrust of the teaching today. Being good is basically, if we're only just following rules, it's about law. It's about the law. Doing what's right because we know what's right, or avoiding evil because we know it's evil, and using willpower to stay in that place. We live in a real confusing time right now, because the world calls things that are good, things that are godly, the world calls them evil, and has been for a while, and it's getting worse, and things that are evil are called good. So because we've been steeped in this atmosphere for so very long, it can get confusing. And the only thing that can straighten that out is the Holy Spirit. He cuts right through it all. Things that are evil are not just things we follow after in carnality, but things like disease, perverse things, twisted things, impure things, things that hurt. Anything that hurts people is evil. And all of that is twisted because, you know, much of the New Age spirit nowadays says, well, if it doesn't hurt you or if it doesn't hurt anybody, it's okay to do. So all of that whole arena is very confusing. And the only thing that can straighten it out is God's Holy Spirit. So everything that you're concerned with in your realm that might just be good or anything that might be evil, the Holy Spirit overcomes all of it and brings us out of it. The life of Christ, being in Christ, being connected to the vine. Because a lot of times when we run our lives, we try to run away from evil. Like if you have a neighbor that's just real, you just can't stand them. It makes you want to move. If you have a boss or a coworker that's really difficult, it makes you want to change jobs. It just makes you want to run away. And in that, we're protecting ourselves. But God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who protects us. He's the one who keeps us. And we cannot run away from certain things that may be a suffering thing to us, because we have to be in the fellowship of his sufferings. Fellowship is common ground. We have to share that ground of suffering with him. Not everything. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit can't lead you out of something, because he can. But sometimes we're there just so we can learn how to be connected to him in the midst of it, so we can get life, to know his power. I want to read one of my favorite scriptures from Philippians in 3. I think it's 9 and 10. Because we want to be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is choosing good because we know it's good in the law. And it says, which is the law. But that which is through faith of Christ, he's already made us righteousness. And it is of God by faith. We're supposed to be living Christ's life by faith, according to Galatians 2:20. It's another favorite scripture of ours. It's not about us, it's about him. And verse 10, so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, which is life, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And through that, we are made conformable to his death. We become as Christ. Now, in Isaiah 60, it's a real familiar scripture. I'm going to paraphrase it. But it's a command from God. He says, arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, great darkness shall cover the earth and the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen on you. Gentiles shall come to our light, and kings to the brightness of our rising. Can you see how all the words today just so confirmed all of these things? It is amazing that, like even in the first song when it talked about God's breath, his spirit is in us. But there's going to be an outpouring of spirit in the end times. And God reminded me about, the bones, the dry bones in Ezekiel. Prophetic words are calling us into the season that God has for us. He's calling us together, and we're responding. We are coming together. But when we come together, God puts on muscle. He puts on sinews. He puts on connections. And after that, he breathed into that formed man, and it became a great army. So that's a picture of the body of Christ and God's spirit pouring into us so that we can accomplish what he wants to be accomplished. And that was a command back in Ezekiel there, because the prophetic words commanded it to happen, and then God did the work. And God tells us to arise and shine, but we can't arise in goodness. We have to arise in spirit. And about 2 years ago, God spoke, as I was pondering all these things, God spoke to me just out of the blue. And it was another thing that was a little bit jarring. But he said to me, I need a spiritual church, not a good one. Because the spirit is the power and the life. Goodness, anybody can be good, even the world can be good, all right? And we can be Christians and we can be good if we're avoiding difficult things. But he wants us to come through difficult things so that we can be connected to his power and be a spiritual people. It's very clear that the earth is darkening. And we know that things, according to the word of God, will get darker. But the church is supposed to be light for the world. And the church is getting more and more light as time goes on. But I love this scripture in John 1. It's another one of my favorite scriptures. Speaking of Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. All of the life that is in us, when people see us, they see light. So all of the life of Christ that's in us, the more we're connected to the vine, the more we walk in that life, the more light the world sees. It says there that it shines, the light shines into darkness, and they don't understand. They didn't understand. They can't comprehend. They didn't understand or recognize Jesus, and they many times don't understand or recognize us. But in the end times, there will be a time when God will raise the church, and it will arise and shine, and men will come. Kings will come to the brightness, to that light of our rising. And, this church is called the Fellowship of Life, and that it was named by God when Pastor was praying, And I believe that the word came instantly to him. But that's our calling. That's our destiny. God sees that in us. He sees the future, and he knows we're people of life. And he wants us to walk in this. He wants us to come out of darkness and into light. He wants us to be connected through the Spirit, because the carnal mind is death, because the old man is dead. So we don't want to think in that mind. We want to be in the spiritual mind, which is Christ, and it's life and peace. And it is a choice. So this is also a season of tribulations and trials. A lot of us are going through really hard stuff. But Acts 14:22 says, continue in the faith. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is coming and advancing upon the earth, the enemy is trying to push back, and that's the tribulation. It's resistance. But God says, keep pushing through, continue in the faith. And also in James 1, I love the book of James, but it's all about our testings and our trials, and the point of them is so that at the end we receive a crown of life. We are to turn, and when we get in a place of between the rock and a hard place, he wants us to turn to the rock and not the hard place. It's a place of pressure, but we know his power in that place of pressure, and he's the Spirit of life. So this season, even though it's a difficult season, it's meant to connect us strongly to the vine. I want to talk about Jerusalem. The name or the word Jerusalem means founded in peace. And that word peace is shalom, which is really, it describes our salvation. It describes what Jesus died to give us. It means, first of all, to be safe. Because most of what we do is a fear reaction to what the enemy does or what the world does. So we have to know we're safe. And you know, the way God showed this to me, and he really made it obvious to me, was that in baseball, you have an umpire. And when he says you're safe, you're safe. They can challenge it, and they can look at the slow-mos, you know, the replays. But if the umpire decides and says you're safe, you are safe. And nothing can change that. Nothing. So God says we're safe. Nothing can change that. We have to believe that. Not only are we safe, but we're whole, we're complete, we're well, we're happy, we're friendly. And that word friendly means that we can act and be in such a friendly, beautiful, loving way because we're so filled with his life and shalom. Our welfare is good. We're in health, prosperity. We have success because we hear his voice leading us. And the end of all of that is peace. And that's why shalom is almost always translated as peace. But the word founded means to be established in. Like Cheshire is founded in the center of Connecticut. Jerusalem means founded in peace. And we're called the New Jerusalem. So we are supposed to be established in, founded in, rooted, abiding permanently in shalom, in peace. So this concept of peace or shalom is translated into the New Testament because there's two scriptures, and I neglected to write down the Old Testament scripture. I'm not sure if it might be Psalm 6, no, something else. I don't know, it doesn't matter. But depart from evil and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. So that's in the Old Testament, and the word peace is shalom in the Old Testament. But it's also brought into the New Testament in 1 Peter 3:11, depart from evil and do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Now, the word peace in the New Testament means rest, because we're resting in the finished work of Christ, the finished work of the cross, which is all of that shalom stuff is ours. But the root of the word peace means to join. So we have the decision whether or not we are going to join to that truth and to that life. We're the branch. We have to be connected to the vine. And the reason Jesus gave us that parable is because we do have the choice. But he says, choose life. I set before you life and death. Choose life. The carnal life is death. The carnal mind is death. But the spiritual mind is life and peace. He wants us to choose life. Now, in four places in the gospel, Jesus went into Jerusalem. It's all the same story. You guys know it. Where he went in and he cleansed the temple. But all four gospels, he entered into Jerusalem and he went into the temple. He cast out people who bought and sold. He overturned tables. He overturned seats. He poured out money. Now, why did he do that? There's a reason. In the Luke version, there's three verses just before Jesus entered the temple. And he said this to the people. He was looking at Jerusalem, and he was speaking to Jerusalem, and he said, if you had known the things which belong to your peace, and now they are hidden from you. Then he describes an enemy attack and bondage for them. And then he says, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Because if Jesus is rejected, a veil is put up and it's hidden. So we don't want to reject Jesus. It says that you need to know the time of your visitation. Now, Jesus is in us. He's not leaving. But we also have to know the season we're in. We have to know the season and to cooperate with him. This whole concept of when Jesus spoke to Jerusalem and said, oh, you didn't know the time of your peace. When he was looking over Jerusalem, he cried. He was weeping. One version says he wept audibly because his heart was so consumed with that concept, with them getting it. And, you know, a couple of Wednesdays ago, I went back in my notes. I couldn't find which one. But I believe it was a night when we were praying about oneness. And when I had come in the sanctuary before we started to pray, I just felt this really strong presence of the Lord. And as I sat in my chair waiting for us to start, I felt that it was weeping. And I had to hold back my own tears because it was strong. And we were talking about oneness. And then Quinn gave a word about why Jesus endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. But he used the word hope because Jesus has great hope for us. And he sees the end of who what we're going to be formed into, the measure and the stature of Christ. He sees that. That's why he endured the cross, to give us his life and to give us the oneness. So as he was cleaning the temple in the John portion of that story, it says that the disciples remembered an Old Testament scripture. This is Psalm 69:9, but it's written again in the John Gospel. As he was cleansing the temple, all the disciples heard the same thing. The zeal of your house has eaten me up. That's why he was crying. The zeal for his father's house had eaten him up. It had consumed him. And so that's why he was cleansing the temple. Zeal means heat. Being on fire for something. It's ardent zeal. It's a fervent mind. It's earnestness. And we have the mind of Christ. That's in us, but we want to connect to it. But there's an aspect of that word zeal that is grieving. It says it grieves because one does not have. All right? So there's a grieving. Jesus' heart wants us to come into that oneness so badly. Now, he called his temple a house of prayer. He says it's not a place for merchandise. It's not a place for buying and selling. It's a house of prayer. Now, that word prayer means simply just talking to God, but it implies the connection, the vine connection. We have to have that vine connection connected to Jesus, that constant prayer, because in that place, life flows. So his house is a house of prayer. It's a house of connection. It's a house of being connected to his life. So we have to know this season. It's testing, but through that season, we need to seek peace. Seek peace and pursue it. And we have to know the things that belong to our peace. Peace is a barometer, and actually, if we lose peace, we've lost the life connection. I don't mean Jesus has left. I mean we're not connected. So go after peace. Peace is an indicator, and it keeps us in the place that we need to be. There's no tug of war with peace, because it's a full connection to God where his spirit is ruling. And there's another scripture in the word that says, let peace rule. So peace rules. Now, in trials, we don't want to escape, because when we escape from a trial we're supposed to be in, we enter into false peace. Not only do we have to be aware of his true peace, but we need to discern also false peace. And sometimes just being in a place where you're not doing anything, you're just, you know, minding your own business, just being good, it can be a place of carnality, because we're not flowing in the life of God, and we're avoiding the difficult things where we get empowered by the Spirit. We can also be in a place where we feel like, well, I'm right about this, so therefore it's okay. And that can be a false peace. It's a justification of self. And sometimes there's anger there and other things. And sometimes our rights are in question. And that all can be false peace. So what we want to do is just, you know, focus in on the Holy Spirit, on the Lord. And he'll give you the true peace, and he'll give you the strategy. We have to be careful that we're not buying from the world. You know, the world's selling a lot of stuff nowadays. And it's all twisted. And we have to be real careful. And we also have to be careful we're not selling ourselves. You know, we can't care about what the world thinks of us. We just have to be in Christ, be in his life. And don't sell your birthright. You know how Esau sold his birthright because he was hungry. We don't want to sell our birthright to carnal needs that we have. Your birthright is your destiny, and it's a life in Christ. It is a calling and a purpose, and you have something that this world needs. Whether you believe it or not, it's in you, and God wants to pull it out. So in the place of prayer, in the place of connection, we receive life, we receive peace. And he's also been bringing me, probably you guys too, into a season where he's wanting us to just be aware of his presence, you know, especially in difficult times. But in times when, you know, nothing seems to be going on, we might be in that place of goodness, but when we switch over to being aware of his presence, we've changed tracks. And when you become aware of his presence and his peace, and it becomes, you know, something that you begin to love, then when you lose it, you know it. All right? So that's why this is also a season of being aware of his presence, his peace. And another line, I was pulling out these different lines from that whole section of scripture there where he was cleansing the temple. Because not only are we aware of his presence, but we're listening for his voice. Because it says, after he cleansed the temple, then he began to teach in the temple daily, and the people were attentive to hear. They were hanging on every word. That's what the definition of that word means. We have to be that attentive to him. Now, Jesus is in your temple. He's in there every day, and he's the anointing that teaches you. The word says you don't need teachers. In other words, you don't need somebody next to you all the time teaching you something, because the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's the one that wants to teach you. There is a place for teachers, but it's not right by your side teaching you every little thing. It's the Holy Spirit that wants that connection with you. That's prayer. That's the house of prayer. Each of us become that, and together we become the measure of the stature of Christ. Now, Philippians 4 says, have no care, have no anxiety, but in all things, through prayer, through that connection, and supplications, which is like prayer that's repeated and repeated and repeated, and also with thanksgiving, because the faith is there, you know God's doing it. Let God know. Speak to him. Connect to life. Communicate with God. His peace will keep your heart and your mind. Keep the mind of Christ. Abide in him. You know, I deal with anxiety is one of the things that I deal with and have to constantly put down. But we grow in these things. And one of the things that's important is that, you know, your soul is the place that wanders. The spirit is a place of stability. But hope is the anchor for our soul. So our soul doesn't go everywhere. And that hope goes behind the veil. It goes into the Holy of Holies. So it's there in the place where everything's done. And anchors have ropes. So that rope is what I hold on to. And the word says that he keeps us. But he keeps us by faith. So that rope is faith. So don't let it go. Just keep pushing through. Okay. Okay, I'm trying to find where I left off here. Okay, this part here. In the John 2 version of this story of the cleansing of the temple, the Jews asked Jesus, all that you just did, in other words, the cleansing of the temple, what sign are you showing us? They knew that it was a sign. And verse 21 says that Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. So we know that at that time he also said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. So we know that the enemy tried to destroy Jesus physically. But he said, I will raise it up in 3 days. And we know that he was on the third day resurrected. But we can also look at this as being us, his body. Because the enemy is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life. So there's the choice again. But no matter what the enemy has done to you, no matter what he's done to the body of Christ on this earth, he's scattered it, he's fractured it, he's hurt us individually. And many people have wanted to give up, many people have given up. But the promise is, he will raise us up. He will raise us up. And this is the third day. There used to be a lot of teaching about this years ago. That one day is as 1,000 years. And so this is, you know, the third day since Jesus was crucified. And so this is the season that God is raising up the church. But there's a caution there, because sometimes we might think, well, I've got 1,000 years. I'll just wait a little. But we know that he was resurrected in the early wee hours of that third day. So this is the early wee hours of the third day. So we want to connect. We want to be in that season. We want to listen to what he's saying. And there was a very interesting play on words in the Luke account of the cleansing of the temple and the part where he was teaching the people. It said, those in authority who sought to destroy Jesus could not, because the people listened attentively to his every word. Now, it was because they feared the people that they didn't go after Jesus. But I think that can be a play on words for now. that if we are connected to Jesus and listening attentively to his every word, that is the defense against the enemy coming into you to destroy you or to destroy the church at large and to fracture it. Now, I just want to, he said he would raise the church up in 3 days. The word raise, and you've heard a lot of these words before, but I think it's pretty awesome. You know, his physical body was raised on the third day, but he's doing that to us now. The word raise means to waken, to collect one's faculties. You know, when you're first waking up and sometimes you don't even know what day it is, you have to collect your faculties, right? So that's what's happening now. He's awakening us up, and we're collecting our faculties, the truth, the light, what we know to be true. It means to rouse from sleep or to rouse from sitting, because sometimes we're awake, but we're sitting, or from lying down, to rouse from disease. All of that stuff of shalom is ours, and he doesn't want us into anything that isn't shalom and wholeness. He's rousing us out of that, or he's rousing us out of death. Now, the realm of death is the carnal realm. He's bringing us out of that and into life. Figuratively, that word also means obscurity, inactivity, ruins, and non-existent. So we don't want to let the devil steal, kill, or destroy. We don't want to be in the carnal mind. He's rousing us and bringing us into life, the spiritual mind, which is life and peace. The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We want to be in it so that we can be life and we can be light. Because the church didn't just arise in Isaiah 60 there when he said arise. He also said shine. So that's the light part. That's why goodness can't arise, because only spirit shines. His life is the light. So we want to arise and shine. We want the zeal of Jesus. We want that same heart, that weeping heart, that zeal heart, that ardent fervor in us for the temple of God. When I was, as I said, you know, sometimes God takes a while to show you stuff, and he just keeps giving you this and that. During that time, when I was reading things here and there, I kept coming across this phrase, for the sake of. And when I read it, it kind of pierced me. Because we want to do the things that we have to do sometimes are so difficult, but we do it for the sake of Christ. I just want to read you a couple. This is paraphrased, but and it's actually appears many more times in scriptures, but it's the same idea. We are persecuted for righteousness' sake. People will speak against you falsely for my sake. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake. Lose your life, your carnal life, for my sake. Some have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Persecution arises for the word's sake. Men will hate you. They will separate you from themselves. They will call your name evil for the Son of Man's sake. Now in 2 Corinthians 7, Paul had written a letter to the Corinthians, and it brought them into godly sorrow. Godly sorrow is what we need to get through this season. Because according to the scripture, it says that godly sorrow works repentance. It works a changing of the mind from evil. And it brings us into salvation. It brings us into that shalom. It brings us into life. But worldly sorrow works death, because we focus on guilt and condemnation and failure and things like that. So again, godly sorrow. It also forms in us a carefulness, so that we want to be aware of his spirit and we actually care. We are cleared Because we know we live in perpetual forgiveness. Because no matter what we've done, no matter what we will do, it is already all forgiven. And we cannot carry a guilt, a condemnation. We have to receive his forgiveness. When we have godly sorrow, indignation forms in us. This is all from the scripture, 2 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. Indignation, it's like that growl against the enemy, against sin. Fear of the Lord is formed in us. Longing and earnest desire is formed in us. Zeal is formed in us. So this all sounds like God's heart for his house of prayer. And the last thing, a desire to punish sin. When we are under God's hearing, when we're listening attentively to his words, when we're in the spirit, the word for obedience means under hearing. So we're hearing the Holy Spirit and aligning with it. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians 10 there where it says we're to take every thought captive. And it also says that our obedience is complete or fulfilled when we are ready to punish all disobedience. But that doesn't mean we're punishing the disobedience, because that word disobedience means wrong hearing. So when wrong hearing comes into our head, we want to punish it. We want to grab it. We want to put it under the obedience of Christ. We don't want to hear anything that is not of God, because that's in the realm of destruction. So that's why, you know, they couldn't destroy Jesus, because the people were listening attentively. Now, 2 Corinthians 7, 1 says, "Let us cleanse ourselves, our temple, from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord." But this is done by spirit. This is not something we do through the carnal realm. Romans 8, 13 says, "Through the spirit do we mortify the practice of the body." Because the old man is already dead, but he likes to rise up and practice things, and we're not going to let him. But it's through the spirit that that is put down. Again, it's very important to live in perpetual forgiveness, especially for yourself. Because when you live in forgiveness for yourself, then you can readily forgive others. 1 John 1, 9 says that we're to confess our sins. And the blood continually cleanses us, and then we're brought back into light, because light is truth. We don't want to pretend that we don't have a sin area, but we also don't want to be in condemnation over it. The word confess means say the same thing as God. So God doesn't have a list of our sins. He says, "That's forgiven. That's dead. Receive my forgiveness." So that's what we confess. Okay, Lord, that's trying to bother me, whatever that is. You can name it if you want. You can renounce it and say, "That's not who I am. I'm in Christ. That's who I am. And thank you, God, that I'm forgiven." And receive that forgiveness until you come to peace. You want to make sure you stay back in peace. Now, I love the section in Romans where I just love this. I'm going to paraphrase, because you know how Romans is. It's, you know, you have to read it 10 times and maybe you get a little bit of it. So this is what Romans 7 really means. We are delivered from the law. There's no more do this or don't do that. We now serve in newness of spirit. So we don't worry about sorting out the do this, do that. What we do is we focus on spirit. And when you focus on spirit, you have that life. And that's what you walk in. So it's not about being law aware. It's not about the knowledge of good and evil. But it's spirit aware, which is life. It's not rules to be good. Because remember, did I say that about his goodness in the beginning? I don't think I said it. Oh, there's something so awesome. Let me get it here. All right. We walk in the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness. That's Ephesians 5, 9. It's all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And that word goodness means character energized, expressing itself. So it's Jesus' character in us, his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, that's energized and expresses itself through us. That's spiritual goodness. Okay? So that's, I love that. It's just the best. So his goodness, his character, energized and expressing itself through us. So we don't have to even be concerned with the law. Jesus delivers us from the body of death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus frees us from the law of sin and death. So we want to be in life, in shalom, okay? So what God's, there's spiritual law. And like I said before, if God says you're safe, you're safe. If he says you're healed, you're healed. If he says you're whole, you're whole. Okay, that's the law of the Spirit of life. And that's what we love. And I love this, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That word sons there refers to mature. So this is the season where we're being led by the Spirit of God. We're attentive. We're hanging on his every word. And he's raising up the body of Christ. His temple, his body, fitly joined together. I'm missing up all my papers here, but that's okay. Okay. So I think that it's important to just know our season. Know that this is the season of connection. And just seek to be connected in everything, in all things. Know the things that belong to your peace. Know your salvation and what Jesus did for you and claim that. No enemy can destroy you or the Jesus in you. All right. Like I said, it's important to know peace. Peace is kind of like the barometer. It is the indicator to tell us if we've lost our connection to life. You know, in Ephesians 4, it says that we endeavor to keep or maintain the oneness that we have with God in the bond or the glue of peace. So peace is what keeps us in the oneness, because we are one with him. And why is it important that we do this? It is so that we can walk in our salvation that he died to give us. But it's also so that we can affect the world. And we will be ineffective if we don't connect with him in our personal life and in the corporate church. Matthew 13 says, we shine as lights. His life is the light of all men. But we shine as lights in a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth the word of life. So I just feel like perhaps right now we should just close our eyes and just come into peace and grab onto it. And so just close your eyes right now and see the Father before you. See Jesus. The word says seek peace and pursue it. And somebody said it to, I can't remember who, but I think it was Rita. You are worthy. Because if you weren't worthy, the Father would not have sent his Son. And Jesus would not have come. And he would not have walked the life he walked. It was a life of suffering. But because you personally are worthy, he did it. He took the stripes. He carried the cross, he took the nails, and he did it for each one of us. So everything that the cross gave you, know the things of your peace and receive them. Receive forgiveness especially. God's been showing me that that is a huge block and affects our life It poisons our life. We have to receive forgiveness for ourselves and for others. In the place of peace is where we get in touch with the energy of His character. Everything that He is, He's peace. Thank you, Father. Thank you for peace. Thank you, Lord, that that character that is within me, the character, the person of Christ, is who I am, and I receive that fully. That's my peace. I thank you, Lord, that I love with your love. All those fruits of the Spirit that we normally name, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faith, self-control, meekness. I don't know if I left one out, but it's not just those things. It's all goodness. All of those things that the Spirit gives me, that's what I live in. That's who I am. And I live it by faith. I thank you, Lord, for your peace. I thank you that you said to me, seek peace and pursue it. Let peace rule. It's the umpire. I thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you're cleansing your temple and you are not upset with us. Many times we think that of that scripture where he cleansed the temple, that he went in and railed and rammed and threw things, but he did overturn tables, but doesn't mean he did it violently. So, Father, let your Spirit cleanse the temple. At one point, you spoke in the temple and said, take this stuff out. It doesn't belong here. So let the voice of God come into you and listen attentively. Hang on every word. And if he says that has to go, then renounce it. We thank you, Lord. These things are all done by Spirit. It's done in Jesus' name. And we thank you that we live in life. We pursue life. We connect. This is the season. And we also thank you, Lord, for the trials and the tribulations that we're going through, because they are meant to cleanse us, meant to bring us into Spirit filled life operating people, exhibiting the character of Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for this season. We bless you and we praise you. Help your Spirit. Father, just send your Spirit to help us to stay in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.